This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin. Welcome, everyone, to the second of our two-part series on Toastmasters 100. We continue our conversation with Toastmasters Chief Executive Officer Daniel Rex. In part one, Dan enlightened us with a little history of Toastmasters. He talked about Dr. Smedley's vision, the progression and the growth of Toastmasters, a little bit about the educational program, and we also heard a few personal historical anecdotes. Today, Dan is back to talk about the centennial commemoration and how World Headquarters has compiled a number of ways that you can learn more about the history of Toastmasters and both explore and celebrate from the past 100 years. Chief Executive Officer Daniel Rex, welcome back to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thanks, Greg. Always a pleasure to be here with you and especially to talk about this topic today. I'm looking forward to it.
There's just a plethora of great resources for members, for clubs, for history buffs, and I just can't wait to hear more about them. So to kick things off, Dan, could you talk a little bit about maybe what are some of the most notable items? Perhaps we can start off with the book, Confident Voices, The Story of Toastmasters. It's a beautiful hardcover book, 454 pages. It's full of stories and photos and maps and illustrations and so much more. Like, have I missed anything?
Well, probably. There is so much in this book that organizationally we have not kept in our consciousness. It's extremely deep and it's evolved since previous versions of the story of Toastmasters. Of course, the original version that Dr. Smedley wrote. We're really proud of this and the team and working with our historical archives and many Toastmasters have done a fabulous job at telling the story of the first 100 years.
That's awesome. Now, in our first episode, we talked about digitization, but yet something like this, it's quite the undertaking. Why did you feel that it was important to have a book of this substance?
It's really about legacy and about honoring those who have come before us. Of course, honoring Dr. Smedley, his vision and all of his work, but honoring the many thousands of Toastmasters leaders throughout the years and the literally millions of Toastmasters members throughout the years who have experienced the program, contributed to the program, and have been part of creating the Toastmasters of today.
Now, obviously, you were involved in the creation of the book, but not all the material. Was there anything new that you learned from first reading this book?
Honestly, I was quite surprised how many things I learned. Stories, a beautiful story about World War II and a Toastmasters club being held at a prison camp. I had known the history of the Hanoi Hilton Club, but the World War II story had completely escaped me. Details about Dr. Smedley and the others who started the organization, some of the details about the quick evolution that happened in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, just some beautiful stories, photos accompanying them, and some video clips where we have them that paint a picture of the past. And of course, we can never understand the present if we don't have at least a pretty good understanding of history and what caught us here.
We have a few resources to talk about, but with the book, what do you think that members will find the most interesting?
How relatable the content is to their Toastmasters experience. Yes, there are stories of leaders and photos of the International Convention and events that, you know, a lot of Toastmaster members don't see. But there's an awful lot about the club experience and what is happening in members' lives as the club experience grew and strengthened and evolved over time. But for some members, it will simply be the knowledge and the awareness that Toastmasters has a significant past, that 100 years is a big milestone and an important note in our organization's past, present, and future.
Can you share a little bit about how the book is structured?
Yeah, the first section of it is an update, including photos and other pieces of the original version that Dr. Smedley wrote in the 1960s. The second piece is a volume that the headquarters team created in the 1990s. And then the final section that is completely new to anyone who may have read the previous two is bringing us right up to the 100th year and the amazing things that have happened in the last couple of decades as we've grown around the world and as our organization has become much more diverse. Now, layer in on top of the history words that existed before, the photos and other memorabilia items and historical items that add to the history and bring warmth and humanity to it.
I loved seeing even the handwritten speech. I thought that was actually pretty awesome.
There are amazing things in there that I didn't write any of this, but I was part of the review cycle and the final version before it went to print. I had an opportunity to read. But now that I have my full, big, heavy copy of this 454-page tome, I'm looking forward to spending more time with it and getting a little deeper into some of the pieces that I've not yet fully experienced.
And I'm pretty excited. I think it's on page 412.
412. What happens on page 412?
Do you know what's on there?
No. Are you on page 412, the Toastmasters podcast?
Yes, the Toastmasters Yay! Podcast.
That's fantastic. Did we get your photo in?
Yes, there's a photo of Ryan and I. I think it's a screenshot.
Oh, all right. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for including that.
Of course. Of course. That's great.
So that's the book. And how can people get that book?
They can get the book through the supplies on the Toastmasters International website. That's the best place to get it. Now, I'll let you know, it's a little heavy, so postage is not going to be inexpensive. It'll also be available at future international conventions if you happen to attend an international convention going forward.
That's awesome. You got to be careful about putting it in your luggage. You'll be overweight on your carry-on.
You got to be careful about it. It was quite big. At some point, someone handed me four or five of them, and I thought, oh, I need to be careful not to drop these. They're quite heavy, but as I spent time with people who had recently obtained a copy, they were thrilled to talk about it, to look through it, to find themselves, to find people that they knew, to track down people that they knew and ask them to autograph a photo or a mention of them in the book. It was really an endearing experience to see those who are connected to the organization so much enjoy the contents.
I love the history and the appendix where you talk about a lot of the recognition, and the index is actually quite comprehensive. So if you're looking for something specific, you should be able to zero in on it pretty quick.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the book. Now, for those who enjoy consuming media in the video format, I understand that there is a new 45-minute documentary.
Yes.
Called 100 Years of Confident Voices. And it's available free. It's on YouTube. Tell us a little bit about that documentary and how does it differ from the book?
It was developed in parallel with the book, but there's not an enormous amount of overlapping content. If you prefer to consume your history by video, this is a great way to get many snapshots of moments in time that resulted in Toastmasters being the way that it is now. For several years, we've been working on a history project in which we take video of past presidents of the organization and others, wanting to build a larger video archive that explains the happenings in the organization that aren't necessarily in the book or aren't necessarily in board minutes or that sort of thing. So we've asked those who have been around for a while to spend some time creating content with us. We also have an enormous video library, and people regularly provide new video to us from years past. And this was a good way to take the highlights from the video library that we have and put them together in a coherent way that follows the history of the organization.
Yeah, it's really interesting hearing the interviews and the insights from the past international presidents and how some things are the same and how some things change. There's the world champions in there, which I really liked. What I really enjoyed was watching the proceedings of an actual meeting from yesteryear.
Yeah, there were a few of those meetings that were quite interesting there. Now, some of them, one of them was done by a television station, I think somewhere in California in the 1970s. So to, you know, look at the clothing people were wearing and the hairstyles, and we think, oh, that's quite fascinating. what happened. That even predates my time. And then there were some clips from other meetings. You know, along the way, the organization has created promotional videos for Toastmasters. So some of those were clips from videos that I participated in the creation of in, say, the late 1990s, early 2000s. And I think, oh, I remember that person that we brought in to help us demonstrate what a club meeting is like, what the transitions are like, what speeches and table topics and evaluations could and should be. So it was a bit of a trip down memory lane for me, but certainly a nice historical representation of things that have happened in the organization.
Yeah, it was great to see you in the video too. That's awesome.
Well, I'm not a big fan of being on video, and I don't like to watch myself or listen to myself afterward, but you know, the video team required me to watch all of this before it was released. And I thought you did a really good job of making me look good. So thank you very much, team, for taking care of me and making it so that I could be happy with it.
Well, it's Toastmasters. You need to review and get feedback. Remember
exactly.
That.
And clearly feedback comes whether you like it or not.
Couple of things that I loved were the black and white footage, and also the meetings where it was funny. It was, you see how Toastmasters has changed. Very formal. Most meetings were men in suits. Now that's changed.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? And I remember when I first was becoming associated with Toastmasters, it was a very clear rule, and I say that broadly, a cultural norm that men would wear jackets and ties to meetings, and ladies would probably wear a dress or a skirt. Now, it's no longer that rigid in most places, but I remember meeting people from clubs in other countries, and they'd look at us and ask questions like, why is everyone wearing a suit and tie? We're quite casual at our meeting in whatever country they were coming from. So cultural things that have evolved in the organization that were never normalized outside of word of mouth are quite fascinating to see.
I also loved watching seeing the little clip of the administrator who was mimeographing copies of the Toastmaster magazine. And I think they mentioned it was just like 3x6 when it was folded or put together.
Yes. The original version of the Toastmaster magazine, I think the original title was The Gavel, was quite small. And in those years, the purpose of that document was to provide information to the clubs and members that was important to them and would help them conduct better meetings. We have so many different ways of reaching members now through email or social media or print materials still or other digital materials and videos. But in those days, there was just the one channel. So we're much more diversified now in the way that we communicate within the organization.
As when I ask you when you first read the book, when you first saw the final copy or the final documentary, was there something that stuck out to you? Or was there something new that you thought, oh, wow, I never knew this?
You know, in the video, I'm not sure that there was anything that was new. But what really struck me was the happiness in the faces and the voices of the people who were participating in Toastmasters throughout time. And just the enjoyment of being a member of Toastmasters and participating in the program. And I thought this video beautifully encapsulates how we've been able to maintain that over time. And, you know, the oft-quoted remark from Ralph Smedley about we learn best in moments of enjoyment. If we can capture that and keep doing that, then I think we are just beginning our second 100 years.
Yeah, in our clubs, we certainly laugh a lot. We laugh a lot, but we also learn a lot.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Super. Now let's talk a little bit about some of the celebrations. Again, it's October of 2024.
October 22nd is the date that the first club met in Santa Ana, California. And that club is still in existence, Club Number One. I know they're having a celebratory meeting on October 22nd. So whether you have it at your regular club meeting or hold a discussion and talk about the history of Toastmasters at a separate meeting. Organizationally, we encourage clubs to recognize this and to celebrate achievement. You know, the organization is not centered or focused in world headquarters or the board of directors or district directors or anything else. Each Toastmasters club is the center of the organization and each member's learning experience. So I think it's both valid and important that clubs relax a little bit and reflect upon the amazing work that they have done. And whether your club is new or 100 years old, there have been individuals whose lives have been changed because of the experiences that they've had at the club meeting. And to think about that and talk about it and ponder the importance of that, I think, is both an opportunity and responsibility for clubs in this centennial year.
Well, I agree, because if it wasn't for Toastmasters, I wouldn't be speaking to you right now. And more importantly, I probably wouldn't be speaking. I was more comfortable as a gadget guy. I spent most of my time behind the keyboard and I was quite happy behind there. But yeah. I realized there was a lot more when I got out from behind the keyboard. And I credit Toastmasters for that.
Yeah. And I do as well. You know, I was a Toastmasters club president participant in my late 20s. And I learned an enormous amount about me and other people and how to communicate and sometimes how not to communicate and things to do and things not to do. What an influential and life-changing time that was for me.
If I recall from our previous conversation, you were elected when you left the room.
I was. And so if anyone's listening who has not yet been a club officer, make sure you don't leave the room during a meeting because you just might get put into office while you step out for a few minutes.
I remember you shared that and you talked about Ted Corcoran experiencing the same thing.
Ted Corcoran experienced the same thing. Bass International President Ted from Dublin, Ireland. Another massively influential person who has participated in history development and was so looking forward to this 100th year celebration and being able to celebrate with his club in Ireland and the rest of the clubs in Europe. And an instrumental member in the formation of our strength in Europe in the last 20 years.
And we were certainly happy to have Mr. Corcoran on the program, and we'll certainly put a link to that in the show notes. Now, Dan, if clubs are, they want to celebrate and commemorate the time, and they're not sure what to do, what are some of the resources? What are some of the ways that they can do that?
Yeah. Well, on the Toastmasters website, there's a microsite that has logos and digital wallpaper, PowerPoint templates that are branded, and along with that, some ideas and concepts relating to celebrations. We've published a printed version of the October magazine for this year. It has 100 table topic prompts inspired by our history. There are pages of suggestions, ways that the clubs can celebrate, and then little kind of fun things like a crossword puzzle and maps and some of the most popular articles from the Toastmaster magazine from throughout time. So if I were a club leader or club member right now, I try and get a hold of that and look on our website and find these suggestions. Now, if your club has a great history, you may not need those kind of prompts, but if you're at a little bit of a loss and looking for some ideas, we can certainly help out with that.
Yeah, and this episode of the magazine, I believe it's 56 pages, and I think the PDF that we receive every month is just 30, so there's a lot more value in there. Plus, again, I think it's a collectible.
I agree. I have one sitting in my office. I'm very happy to have it and look forward to celebrating with my club and with other clubs this amazing anniversary.
Yeah. And if people are interested, are the souvenirs still available?
Souvenirs are still available. If you go to the Toastmasters website, plenty of souvenirs. It almost feels like the culmination of a celebration in October, but I really think that it's the beginning of a celebratory year. There's an opportunity for us to appreciate the organization, invite our friends and coworkers to come and join us and see what this is about, as well as just enjoying the experience and reflecting upon how much Toastmasters has affected each of us.
Yeah, and it certainly has. Now, in episode one, we got a little personal with you, Dan, and so I think it's time to do that because we like to have a little fun here. Not that our conversations aren't fun, but we do like to have a little fun here, right?
Absolutely. I think I'm ready for this.
So, Dan, in our last podcast conversation, and again, I will put the link in the show notes for those who haven't heard it. It's 5 years ago. You were actually here in Edmonton on, as you quoted, a beautiful zero Celsius freezing Fahrenheit day.
Yes, that was a little chilly that day. Yeah, 5 years. I can't believe it's been that
long. It's been 5 years. Yeah. In fact, it was 5 years. It's just, I think it was end of September when you came here for Peter Kosowin's 50th anniversary. And we recorded at the home of past international president, Neil Wilkinson. Now, one of the comments that you made to me, which really surprised me, and I can't remember how it came out in the conversation, but you told me, we talk about change, right?
Yes.
Well, some things that you changed was in your office, you said you didn't have a computer
or a desk? And has that changed? And for those of us who didn't hear the previous episode, could you tell us a little bit about that and why?
Yeah, no, that has not changed. There are chairs in my office. There are items of memorabilia, quite a few books. There's a clock. There's a screen on the wall in case we need to have something projected on the screen. But I'll take a laptop in there, but there is no computer and there is no desk. And the reason is because I find that most of my work revolves around conversations with people, and that a desk creates a barrier to conversation. When we're all in the same kind of chair at the same level without any sort of physical barrier between us, conversations tend to come more easily and smoothly. And, you know, there are times when I have to engage in difficult conversations, and I want to feel, and I want the people that I'm chatting with to feel that we're in it together, that we're working together, and that we're, you know, going to get through difficult moments together. And over time, I've realized that the sort of authority position of a desk can hamper those kinds of conversations.
I agree. And folks, now you know.
So please, if you're ever in the area of our office in Englewood, Colorado, we are happy to do tours. Stop by on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and I'd be happy to show you about. I'd love to meet you.
And then you could see no desk.
You can see no desk. Absolutely.
Folks, if you've enjoyed this episode as much as I have, I encourage you to share it with your friends and family and fellow Toastmasters. You can find the Toastmasters podcast at toastmasterspodcast.com, toastmasters.org, Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find a lot of the information we talked about at toastmasters.org, and we'll certainly put a link into the show notes where you can purchase the book, the print magazine, and also where you can find the documentary. Now, Dan, we covered a lot of territory. We covered 100 years. Perhaps if there are some words of wisdom to leave us with to close out these special episodes and this special time.
Yeah, I don't know about words of wisdom, Greg, but here's my thought, my summary of this celebration. We as an organization and we as individual members of Toastmasters are here because of those who came before us and who worked so hard to establish the organization, to build our club, the club that we're a member of. And we owe them some appreciation. But what we also owe them is a really good club meeting so that those who come after us can appreciate and experience the best of Toastmasters going forward. So let's follow Dr. Smedley's vision, his dream, and his message of always enjoying ourselves as we learn and create the best possible Toastmasters of the future. Whoever creates a podcast or whatever happens in another 100 years, I hope looks back and looks at us and says, well done, team. We appreciate all that you did to get Toastmasters to where it is today.
Thank you for that. And you can certainly start by using some of the resources we talked about today to make that happen in your club. Chief Executive Officer Daniel Rex, thank you so much for taking the time to make these 100th anniversary episodes so special. On a personal note, I would like to offer my gratitude for your leadership. You don't call it wisdom, but I do. And the guidance you've given us over the number of years. And I wish you all the best as you start the next 100 years.
Thank you, Greg. Much appreciated.
Ever imagined a book written just for you? Introducing Pooks.ai. We're not just another bookstore. We're the future of reading. Our state-of-the-art AI adapts each book to your specific needs, creating a personalized masterpiece. Visit Pooks.ai now, that's P-O-O-K-S.ai, and use the promotion code SPOTIFY for a whopping 50% off. Pooks.ai, your personalized book awaits.